The fourth parak, at least the first half of the fourth parak, deals with what was done with the half a shekels that were donated on an annual basis to the Beis HaMikdash. What were the uses for those funds? So as we mentioned, those were collected through Adar of 1 year, and they started drawing upon them on the first of Nisan. In fact, they drew upon those half shekels 3 times in the year, 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim. And as we've mentioned, those funds that were chosen, that were put into the bins, into the baskets 3 times a year, and we said there were 3 baskets that were filled each of those 3 times for a total of 9 baskets full. What was done with those? So we said Korbanos Tzibur, communal Korbanos. Now, starting in Mishnah Aleph, we're going to give more detail as to what that means. So the Mishnah Aleph says as follows, HaTruma, that Truma, in other words, the funds that were withdrawn, we referred to them prior as the Trumas Halishka, the funds that were drawn from that chamber. Now we're simply calling it on first name basis, HaTruma, Mehayuosimba, what did they do with all those funds that they filled the bins with, those 3 bins, 3 times 9 bins, what did you use those funds for? Came by to meet him. They would buy the korban tamid, the expenses of the korban tamid, twice a day, once in the morning, one in the afternoon. Musafin, the korbanas of the musaf, brought on Shabbos and brought on Yantif and Iskehim and their nesachim. What are the nesachim? Those are the minchas that were brought. Those are the flower offerings and the wine libations that were brought in association with the aforementioned korbanas. Ha'omer, that's the korban ha'omer that was made from barley that was brought on the second day of Pesach. Ushtei alechem, which was made from wheat that was brought on Shavuos. Ve'lechem apanim, these are the 12 showbreads, the 12 loaves that were exchanged each and every Shabbos, the old ones taken out and the new ones being put in. V'chol korbanas hatzibur, and all other communal offerings, including the Ketores. And now there's an interesting discussion in the Seifa of our Mishnah that even a service that was necessary for the Karbanos could also be paid for with these funds of the Truma Salishka. So we're going to have a discussion now about the Shomrei Svichin B'Shvis. What's going on here is that we mentioned that you would bring the Korban HaOmer, which is the barley offering on the second day of Sukkot Pesach, and you would bring the Shtei HaLechem, which was a wheat offering that was brought on Shavuos. But the problem that we encounter is on the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to grow produce, you're not allowed to grow those crops. So what would you do? So there's a concept called Svichin. Svichin means aftergrowth. In other words, you can't plant during the Shemitah year, but there were seeds that fall from the prior year that actually grow by themselves, not having actively been planted by somebody. But they are aftergrowth, and that is what they took the wheat and the barley to use for those 2 karbanos during the Shemitah year. So what would they would do to ensure that they would have those, because all of the produce during Shemitah is hefker. Everyone can come and take what they so desire. They used to set up shomrim, guards, to guard fields to ensure that they would have a supply of the wheat and barley for these 2 karbanos. So to pay those guards, shomrei svichin, those people who would guard the svichin, the aftergrowth of the barley and the wheat that they anticipated using for the korban haomer and the shtei lechem b'shvis on the Shemitah year, notlin scharan, they would be paid me Trumas Halishka, also from these funds, the Trumas Halishka, the funds that were put into the baskets 3 times a year. Now we're going to have an interesting discussion. Is it required to pay these watchmen, or is it not required? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is of the view, if this watchman wants to work for free, let me donate my time to the Beis HaMikdash. He can watch over those fichin, those aftergrowths for free. And the concern here, as we'll see with the sheet of Chachamim, is what's going to happen if he has in mind, or maybe even takes an act to acquire that hefker, that non-owned produce. It's the Shemitah year, and accordingly, you have a concern. He acquires it, and a korban tzibur has to come from something that's from the tzibur. So Rabbi Yossi of the view that even if the shomer had in mind he's acquiring the barley and wheat in the field, or even if he doesn't act upon it to acquire, he can simply donate it to the Beis HaMikdash, and that goes from being his private property to being Beis HaMikdash property, communal property that can be used for the korbanos, and it's not a problem. Amru lo, Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Yossi, af ata omer she'enam bayim elam yishim tzibur. You agree with us that these things can only come from communal funds. In other words, the concern of Chachamim here is that they have a fairly strict standard that is that we acknowledge that Mi'ikar Adin, an individual who owns something, could donate it, and that can be used for a public korban, that can become a communal fund, communal asset. However, we're concerned, says Chachamim, that people may not wholeheartedly donate their personal assets to the Beis HaMikdash. So their concern is, if this shomer, he works for free, we're not paying him, and he has in mind to acquire the wheat or barley in the field, or he doesn't act to acquire them, and when he comes to donate it, he doesn't really wholeheartedly do it, that is not going to be a communal asset that we would be permitted to take korbanos from. So because of that concern, Chachamim say, we need to pay the shomrim, those watchmen who are watching over the hefker barley during the Shemitah year, and if we pay them, they are effectively our employees, and a paid employee of the Beis HaMikdash, that even if he has intent to acquire these fichin, these aftergrowths, it doesn't matter, because he would be acquiring it not on his own behalf, but on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. So that would be owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but it indeed, Chachamim are of the view that you must pay that watchman. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of Mishnah Aleph, discussing the funds that were withdrawn from the Lishka and put into the baskets. What was done with those funds? So we're going to list a few more items that were used from those funds. Para, the cost of a para aduma. Para aduma was the ash of the red heifer that purified anyone who came into contact with a corpse, so it would remove the tuma. Sa'ir ha-mishtalech, the sa'ir mishtalech is the he-goat that was used to send out on Yom Kippur to Azazel. There were two he-goats that were very similar in their characteristics, and the Kohen Gadol lifted lots up, and one said la-Hashem, that was brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, and one was la-Azazel, which was chatas, and that was sent out to Azazel, to a desert, and it was thrown over the cliff. So the cost of that was also from the Trumas Alishka. Velashon Shel Zahoris, literally, this is a strip of red wool. What it was used for, it was burned together when the Para Aduma was burned to be prepared to be Metaher people. So those three are Bayin Mitruma Salishka, in addition to what we listed in Mishnah Aleph. These are brought from the funds that were put into the baskets three times a year. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about the shkalim that were not put into those baskets three times a year. In other words, we said that we have all the shkalim collected in this lishka, in this chamber, and we drew from those three times a year. But what happens with the shkalim that was left over, the surplus? What was used, what was expenditures were permitted from those shkalim that were not chosen and put in the basket? So now we're going to list the number of items, and the core issue as to what these are is that they are less essential items in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, they're not actual korbanos per se, they're not requirements, they're less essential, and accordingly, it only came from what we're calling to the shiare alishka, what was left over, the surplus funds of those shkalim in the lishka, in the chamber, and not what was actually drawn and put into the bins that were used specifically for the korbanos of the tzibor and related issues. So number one, we're listing here, kevesh para. What this is talking about is when they had the para duma, they were very careful that when it was taken from the Beis HaMikdash out to Har HaZeisim, the Mount of Olives, they wanted to avoid all forms of tuma, so they built a special ramp to get that para aduma from Har HaBayis to where it would be burned, and it was built in a way to avoid all forms of tuma. This was a stringency, and accordingly, it fell into the second basket, literally, no pun intended, it fell into the shiare alishka, the excess funds from the chamber, and not the funds that were withdrawn and put into the baskets three times a year. So that's the kevesh para. The kevesh sa'ira mishtalech, when they had the sa'ira mishtalech, was again, we had just mentioned, was the he-goat that was brought out and thrown to Azazel. What happened at the time of the Beis HaMikdash is that there were certain people who were in a rush to have that sa'ira mishtalech sent, because it removed all the chataim of Klal Yisrael. So in order to inspire or force the person who was taking that he-goat to Azazel el quickly, get him going, running into the midbar and get rid of that and throw that seir, that he-goat, over the cliff, they would start harassing him, pulling his hair, etc. So in order to avoid that, they built a special ramp so that individual who was accompanying that he-goat, that seir mishtalech, would avoid those harassers and be able to get safely out and out to the midbar and not be hurried and hassled. So that's the kevesh sa'ira mishtalech, was also paid for from the shiare alishka, but not from the truma salishka, from the funds that were put into the baskets. And then continuing, vilashon shebein karnav, this is talking about the special strip of red wool that was placed between the horns of that seer, that hamishtaleach. So they actually had two purposes. As soon as it was chosen as the seer hamishtaleach, because we had two he-goats, one was chosen based on lots, one with Hashem, and one was sent to the, as the seer hamishtaleach to Azazel, they marked off which one was chosen as the seer hamishtaleach by putting a strip of red wool tied onto its horn. And then once it got out to the desert and it's about to be thrown over the cliff, that was cut in half. Half was reattached to the horn and half was kept above. And that is, as famously we talk about in the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it would turn white, please God, to symbolize that the sins of Klal Yisrael had been forgiven. And continuing, Va'amas HaMayim, this was a water canal that ran through the Chatzar, the Beis HaMikdash, the temple courtyard. We discussed it in the Mishnayos and Psachim, that's how they used to clean up the Chatzar from all the blood. So this was that canal that ran through. They didn't pay for the water or the canal itself per se, but if they needed to upkeep, pay for any fixes of the water canal, this came from the same funds. V'choma sa'ir omigdaloseha, the city walls of Yerushalayim and the towers of Yerushalayim, any infrastructure of Yerushalayim, v'chol tzorchei ha'ir, all other needs of the city. Ba'in mishiare halishka, all of it would come from literally the remainder of the lishka, the remainder of the funds that were left over in the lishka that were not put into the baskets, into the bins. Now, Abba Shol just simply disagrees. On one point, he says that this kevesh para, that kevesh, that ramp that was built for the para duma to avoid any tuma, he says that didn't come from the shiare halishka, that it didn't come from the excess funds that were left over in the chamber, but rather kohanim gedolim osim oso mishal atzman, the kohen gadol, who was lucky enough to have a para aduma brought in his time period that he was serving as the Kohen Gadol, because that did not happen very often. He wanted to show that he was going to prepare the para aduma to the highest and strictest of levels. He was giving it the highest care possible, and accordingly, he would want to pay for it from his own funds to symbolize the level of care he was giving to the para aduma. So that would not come from the Shir Elishka, but rather would come from the personal funds of the Kohen Gadol. Mishnah Gimel is a continuation of the prior Mishnayos discussing what would be used with the funds in the Lishka. In Mishnah Aleph, in the beginning of Mishnah Bet, we discussed what would be used with the funds that were drawn from the chamber three times a year and put in the baskets. And then we discussed at the end of Mishnah Bet what would be used with the excess funds that were not put into the bins, but were kept still in the Lishka. And we said that non-essential items for the Korbanos were paid for from the Shiare Alishka, the leftovers of what was still in the chamber. And Mishnah Gimel, we're going to discuss Mosar Shiare Alishka. What happens if we still have excess funds that were not drawn into the bins? In other words, we've put into the bins, we've used it for the Korbanos of the Tzibur. We had excess funds that weren't put into the bins, and we paid all the non-essential items that we listed in Mishnah Beis. And now, Mishnah Gimel, what happens if we still have excess funds from those Shkalim, the Mosar, the excess of the Shiare Alishka, what's left over in the Lishka, Mehayuosim Bahen, what would they do with those Shkalim? So we have a Machlokis in this regard. First opinion, Loch you would buy, the Beis HaMikdash would buy wine to be used for the wine line basin, shmanim, shem, and oil to be used also in the various korbanos, the menachos, uslasos, also finely ground flour, all of these kept on a high level of tahara, so they would be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And what would they do with it? The Beis HaMikdash would sell it to people who were in need, v'hasachar lahekdash, and the profit would go to the hekdash, would go to the Beis HaMikdash, d'ibi Rabbi Yishmael, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Effectively, when we had excess funds, the Beis HaMikdash could put it to use and make a profit from it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I disagree. Ein mistakri mishel hekdash, you can't make a profit from communal hekdesh funds. We don't take the communal hekdesh funds and invest it and turn a profit. That is a disgrace to the Beis HaMikdash. It looks like the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have funds and they've had to gone into the business. So Rabbi Akiva says that should not be done. And he adds on an interesting point, V'lo Mishel Anim, the same applies when you have funds that are designated to be given to charity. For example, you have a charity fund in the shul or the city, whatever it may be, or even individuals that have been mafrish meiser. Rabbi Akiva is saying that the key here is to have have those funds available when there is a need. Don't invest it because then you won't have access to it. It turns out this is actually a halacha lemaisa discussion. If somebody has designated earmarked tzedakah to be given to anim, to the poor, can he invest it meanwhile or not? And based on Rabbi Akiva, it has to be that you need access to the funds. If you don't have access to the funds when the need comes up, you would not be permitted to invest those funds meanwhile. Mishnah Dalet continues our discussion of excess funds. Which excess funds are we talking about now? So we've gone from talking about all of the money, all the shkalim that were put in the chamber, the lishka, and that was drawn and put in the baskets three times a year. And we discussed what was used with that. That was with the Korbanos Tzibor. And then our discussion in Mishnah Beis was how about the excess that was left in the lishka. And we discussed that that was used for non-essential items. And then we said, what happens if you have surplus of that still left in the lishka? And that was our prior Mishnah. Now, Mishnah Dalet, we're going back to the baskets. The three times a year, we put the machatzis a shekel into those baskets and used it for Korbanos Tzibor. But how about come the end of the year, that we're collecting the new shkalim and we have the new shkalim for the next year? What do we use from the baskets if there was excess still in the baskets? That's the subject of our Mishnah. Mosar truma, if we have leftover from the actual truma in the basket still. Me'ah yu'osim ba, what would they do with that? So the Tana Kama says, we're going to see a few opinions. Rikue zahav tzipui lebeis kodshei hakadoshim. What they would do is they would use that gold, and it was broken down into plating. It was flattened out and used in plating to cover the walls, the floor, and the ceiling of the Kodshei HaKadoshim. So that was what the gold was used for. That's the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yishmol Omer. Rabbi Yishmol is from our prior Mishnah, and we saw the machlokas there between Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva. If you can use certain funds of the Beis HaMikdash to invest in oil, in the wine, in the flour, and make a profit. So here Rabbi Yishmol says, according to my opinion, that you're permitted to invest funds of the Beis HaMikdash and make a profit. Rabbi Yishmol Omer, what would you do with that profit? Mosar HaPeiros, that is the excess funds, the profits that you would have from investing those funds. That's what he's calling Mosar HaPeiros. Peiros are the dividends that you receive, the profits that you receive. That would go to Ketz HaMizbeach. Ketz HaMizbeach is when there would be a slow day, certain slow days in the Beis HaMikdash. So after they brought all of the necessary Korbanos, they would want to keep the Mizbeach going with the Korban's Ola until they brought the last Korban of the day, which is the Tamid Shoben Arabayim. So they would use these funds that Rabbi Yishmol said we profited from in the prior Mishnah. Leketz HaMizbeach. Ketz means the dessert. In other words, dessert is feeding the Mizbeach, keeping it busy even after we've done the fundamental things that were necessary. So that's like dessert thereafter, the Ketz of the Mizbeach, and Umosar HaChuma, the subject of our Mishnah here, the excess of what was left in those baskets from the three times we withdraw, comes into the year, we still have money in there, we still have shkolim in there, the Mosar HaChuma, what's left in the baskets, that would be used, the clay sharets, that would be the clay sharets, or the vessels that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, in the service of the korbanos, for example, special bowls collecting for the zrika, a kabbalah from the dam that comes out of the behemah after the shechita, whatever it may be, all the vessels, the klisharis in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be from the mosar truma left in the baskets. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He on a couple of fronts, but he fundamentally had the machloks with Rabbi Shmuel in the prior Mishnah, saying we're not investing funds of the Beis HaMikdash to turn a profit. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't have those mosar haperos, those excess, the invested profit that we have to feed the mizbeach when it's slow. So Rabbi Akiva says, mosar hatrumah, which is the subject of our Mishnah, the excess that was left in the baskets from the draws three times a year, that would be used leketz hamizbeach for the mizbeach when it was slow on a day. We would use those funds to buy excess korbanos, korbanola. Umosar nesachim leklei sharis. So how would we buy the klei sharis? So Rabbi Akiva says we actually have another source of funding in the Beis HaMikdash, the nesachim. The nesachim were the wines, oils, and fine flour that were bought by the Beis HaMikdash. They were time that were there were excesses left at the end of the year for various reasons. So with those excesses, we would sell those and use that money to buy the clay shares. Rabbi Hananya Skana Kohanim Omer, he disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, kind of. He says, Rabbi Akiva, I would switch your order of what you're using. He says as follows, Moser Nesachim L'Kesa Mizbeach. He says when we have that Moser Nesachim, Rabbi Akiva, we're not going to use that to buy the clay shares. That we're going to use for the Kesa Mizbeach, to buy the excess offerings that we would want to keep the Mizbeach busy. Moser HaTruma, the excess Truma, which is the subject of our Mishnah, the extra funds that were left in the baskets on the three times a year raises, that we would use the clay shares. So Rabbi Hanina ben Skana Kohanim and Rabbi Akiva, they disagree in that they flip what the uses would be, but they both agree, Zev v'zeh lo hayu modim b'peiros, they both agreed together and disagreed with Rabbi Yishmael, saying you cannot earn a profit, we're not going to invest the funds of the base of Mikdash, like Rabbi Yishmael said. We both disagree with him, we're both in sync together on the fact that that should not be a source of funding in the base of Mikdash, because now we're not in this to make profit for the base of Mikdash. Mishnah Hay discusses when we have a surplus of Ketores in the base of Mikdash, and it becomes effectively the new year. In other words, we get to the first of Nisan, and we're supposed to be buying all of the new Karbonos, including the Ketores, with the new Shkalim, but we have leftover from the prior year. We're not going to go through the math, but effectively every year they used to buy a little bit extra that would lead into the next year, that we had this issue that we had to deal with that excess, the surplus amount of the Ketores going into the next year. We would have to find a way to deconsecrate that Ketores. In other words, it has the status of Kedusha, but it's on last year's Shkalim. We would have to take it out of the status of Kedusha, make it whole, and repurchase that leftover surplus Ketores with the new Shkalim starting on the first of Nisan when we start using them. So that is going to be the discussion of our Mishnah. It is fairly complicated how this exchange went, that we are going to effectively take the Ketores from last year and revert it with new Shkalim into this year. So it goes as follows. Mosar HaKetores, Mehayu Osim Ba. When we had excess Ketores from one year into the next, what did they do with it? In order to enable them to use it and have it purchased from the new Shkalim. So the step number one, we're going to go through three separate steps. Step number one is as follows. We had somebody, an Uman, who's a craftsman, do some work for the Beis HaMikdash, and we've said in the past we would pay them from funds of the Beis HaMikdash. So we owe somebody some money. Mafrishin mimena schar ha'umani. What we would do is we would take from the coins of the Shkalim, they're just called the Truma, or we would also call it the Shkalim, simply Shkalim. Mafrishin, we would take from the Shkalim that has the status of Hekdesh, and one of the Gizbarim in the base of Mikdash, one of the administrators there, would get the amount that was required that was owed to this craftsman. So that's Mafrishin mimena. Mimena is from the Truma, the coins of the base of Mikdash in the antechamber. Schar ha'umanim, the amount that was owed to those craftsmen, one, two, whatever is owed them any. And now what we'll do, something without giving him the money yet, but this money still has the status of Hekdesh, one of the Gizbarim, one of the temple administrators, would accept the money for him as if he's his representative. The craftsman doesn't have to be involved in this step right now. You are mezaka yedei acher, you make a kinyan on that money, as if you're accepting payment for that craftsman. So right now, when that temple administrator accepts payment for that craftsman, that those coins go from being Hekdesh to being Chol. They are now normal property. And we have that Gizbar that has those coins. They are no regular coins because they have effectively been used to pay the craftsman. And now what we're going to do is enter into step number two, Umechalilin Osa Alschar Ha'umanim. What we would do is we would take that excess surplus Ketores and the value that's owed and the values of those coins, and we would effectively transfer the Kedusha that Ketores has onto those non-Hekdesh coins that are now going to reverse their situations. In other words, the Kedusha of the Ketores is going to wind up on those coins, and the coins are now going to be Hekdesh, and that Ketores is not Hekdesh any longer. And we take that un-Hekdesh, this regular Ketores now, it's not owned by the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't have the Kedusha, because now it's owned by the Uman, it's owned by the craftsman, and we actually give it to him. V'nosnin Osa, we give that Ketores that doesn't have the status of Hekdesh, l'umanim b'scharan, we pay them with it. This is your payment, and we're paying you with the Ketores. And now we get to the third step, and now we go v'chozrin v'lokhin, also we go and we take the new Shkalim, mitruma chadash, we take the new Truma, the new Shkalim that we received using it on the first of Nisan, and we're going to purchase their Ketores. It's owned by them. It's not owned by the Beis HaMikdash because we did the exchange, and we're going to take the new Shkalim, which are owned by the Beis HaMikdash, pay them for the Ketores that they have in their hands, and now we reverse the Kedusha again. In other words, the Ketores that was Chol, now it becomes Hekdesh, and the new coins of the Shkalim that we had in the Hekdesh, in the antechamber, in the Lishka, will go to them and will become their money. That will become Chol. And what we have effectively done is we have repurchased the Ketores for the Beis HaMikdash with the new Shkalim, and that new excess Ketores from the prior year can now be used for the new year. And the Mishnah simply concludes something that was unlikely to happen, but could happen. In Bahechadash Bismana, we're talking now, this whole assumption through our Mishnah is if the new coins of the Beis HaMikdash arrived in the proper time, in other words, before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so we could use it starting on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the Korbanas Tzibor, including the Ketores. In that situation, Lokhin Osa Mitruma Chadasha, we would be able to repurchase the Ketores in the hands of the craftsmen with the new coins of the Shkalim. However, if there was a delay in getting all the Shkalim up, we didn't have the funds yet, it's the first of Nisan, and the Shkalim were delayed, how would that happen? For example, if Lo Aleinu, if Yerushalayim was under siege or something, so the coins could not come through, Vim Lav, what would you do? In that case, we had no choice. Min HaYishana, we would simply redeem the Ketores, repurchase it from the craftsmen with the old coins that we have still in the chamber from last year, and we would be able to use it for the new year because we have no choice otherwise. In Mishnah Vav, we're going to see the same exact three-step transaction that we saw in the prior Mishnah. We're going to actually get to it in the Seifa of the Mishnah. What's going on in our Mishnah here is we have somebody that donates his belongings to the Beis HaMikdash, and in general, when somebody gives a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, he can earmark it to be used for the Mizbeach. For example, he donates items that can be used on the Mizbeach. I'm donating Ketores to be used on the Mizbeach. I'm donating this animal to be used as a Korban Ola, etc., etc. And it has to be used for that purpose. Otherwise, the default is, if he doesn't specify, it's used for the general overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the Bedek HaBayis. So in our situation, and in our Mishnah, somebody donated belongings. He did not earmark it for the Mizbeach, but there are certain items included in his belongings that he donated that could be used on the Mizbeach. So rule number one that we're going to be dealing with is somebody doesn't earmark it, the value has to go to the Bedek HaBayis, to the general overhead. But even if in those belongings there are items that can be used on the Mizbeach, we have to somehow ensure that they are used on the Mizbeach, but also at the same time, the value of those items have to wind up with the Bedek HaBayis. So we have to achieve both of those goals. In other words, if we have those items, we can't simply put them on the Mizbeach, because then the value is not going to the Bedek HaBayis as well. So we're going to go through a construct here that we're going to meet both of our goals. Items that are worthy to be on the Mizbeach will be offered on the Mizbeach, but still the value of those items will be maintained, and the Bedek HaBayis can be used for the general overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaMakdish Nechas, if somebody donated his belongings or some of his belongings to the Beis HaMikdash and included V'hayu Bahem Dvarim Ru'uyin LeKorbanas HaTzibor, there were items included that could be brought as Korbanas for the Tzibor. We're going to focus on this Mishnah on the Ketores. Then the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about donations of animals to the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to achieve both of our goals? So we're going to have two opinions on this. The first opinion, Yenasnu La'umani B'scharan, you can take those items that have been consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash and that can be used, this Ketores we're talking about here, and pay it directly to somebody you owe money to. For example, the Beis HaMikdash owes some craftsmen some money. So give that, Yenasnu La'umani B'scharan, pay them the amount that they're owed, and then what the Beis HaMikdash will do is will buy back that Ketores has now become Chol. It's no longer Hekdesh. It's become deconsecrated. And go and buy that Ketores with the Truma funds of the new Truma, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Just to put in some words there, because at the end of the Mishnah, it'll say exactly that. V'chozrin v'lochin osan mitruma hachadasha. Once they have given that Ketores to the craftsmen, they go and they repurchase the Ketores with funds of the Beis HaMikdash, the new Truma funds, the new Shkalim. The Shkalim wind up unconsecrated in the hands of the craftsmen, and that Ketores comes back to the Beis HaMikdash, and that Ketoros is used on the Mizbeach, but in the end of the day, the Beis HaMikdash also has funds to value and also has the Ketoros. So this opinion is of Rabbi Akiva. He's of the view, I'm going to quote the Bartanur, the Kesavar Hekdesh Mitchalal al Malach. He's of the view that Hekdesh, even the Ketoros, you can pay it directly to the craftsman. You don't have to do the contracts that we did before, which we'll re-mention in a little bit. And he makes a drush on a pasuk, the Siva Asuli Mikdash, famous pasuk, make for me the Mishkan, make for me the Beis HaMikdash. And the drush goes as follows, Shetihia Malacha Nasis Min HaHekdash. When work is done, you can pay it directly from the Hekdash. In other words, typically when we have a consecrated item and we want to deconsecrate it, we have to put it on another item. But here, Rabbi Akiva is telling us you don't have to put it on another item, you can simply pay for work that was done, use the Ketoros that's consecrated, pay for work that's done, and that takes care to get the Ketoros unconsecrated and then repurchase it directly with new shkalim in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar lo ben Azai. Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Eina him hamida. That is not exactly what we saw in the prior Mishnah. The prior Mishnah dictated to us the three steps that we need to take in order to deconsecrate and reconsecrate, to go through this process if you have the Ketoros and give the Ketoros back in to the Beis HaMikdash. And we should keep the construct the same as we did in the prior Mishnah. Now, in fact, there's another difference between them. It's not only we want to have the same construct, but Ben Azai is of the view that you cannot take something that's consecrated and pay for work and get it out that way, get it out of consecration that way. That is not sufficient. If you have something that's consecrated, you can deconsecrate it by transferring that kedusha onto another item, but not by transferring it for work that was done. So Ben Azai tells us the same exact three steps that we went through in the prior Mishnah. Ella, what you have to do is mafrishin mehen schar. Haumani, what you have to do is you have to take from the funds in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to separate the funds to be paid to the craftsman in the amount that is owed. And we have the administrator in the Beis HaMikdash that takes those funds, and those funds go out of Hekdesh. They are now chol, they are not Hekdesh. And what we do is we go ahead and mechalalin osan almaus haumani. We take the Ketoros that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, as we did in the prior Mishnah, and we take that Ketoros and we effectively transfer the Kedusha from the Ketoros onto these coins that are no longer Hekdesh, because they were used to pay, at least to be held on behalf of the in payment for the craftsman. So now what we're going to have is the Ketoros is not going to have Hekdesh status, and the funds, those coins, are. The Nosnin Osan Le'umani Bishoran, we would give them, the Ketoros, to the Uman, we would give those the incense to the craftsman who has to be paid. And at the end of the day, we would go, V'chozrin V'lochin Osan Mitzruma Chadasha, we go and we take the new funds that were brought into the Beis HaMikdash, and we would repurchase the Ketoros from that craftsman. And by repurchasing it, we are getting that Ketoros back into the Beis HaMikdash, and we are now able to use that Ketoros on the Mizbeach, which was achieving our goal, in fact, both of our goals. Mishnah Zayin continues the concept from the prior Mishnah that if somebody donates items belonging to the Beis HaMikdash but doesn't specify the use, it will default to be used in the Bedek HaBayis, for the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. And even if there are items that are included that can be brought on the Mizbeach, still the Bedek HaBayis has to ultimately receive the funds for those items. But those items that can be brought on the Mizbeach, we have to find a solution to also bring it on the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaMakdish Nechasav, somebody who donates belongings to the Beis HaMikdash, v'haisa behen behema ru'uya l'gabei HaMizbeach, and including in the belongings, this time we have animals that can be brought as karbanos. In the prior Mishnah, we talked about the Ketoros that was included, and now we're talking about the behemas that can be included. Zachari Munakevas, some men, male animals, some female, and they have different uses in the karbanos sometimes. So we're going to go through two primary opinions here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer is of the view, just as we said before, that all of it, this whole bundle of belongings, has status of Bedek HaBayis. So accordingly, we have to reach both of our goals. So Zecharim Yemachru Letzorchei Olas, what you would do is you take the male animals and sell it to be used by people as a Korban Olas. So people would buy it and use it as a Korban Olas, and the money would go to the Bedek HaBayis. So Nekevos, and if they're females, animals, yimachru litzorfchei zivchei shlami, wouldn't be sold as an ola, because an ola has to come from a male animal, but they would sell that as a shlamim. A shlamim could be a male or a female, but they would sell the females to be used as a shlamim. Udemehem yiplu im sha'ar nechasim lebedek habayis. And the money that's received by selling the korbanos, those animals as korbanos, would be donated just as the rest of the belongings of the individual making the donation, and it would go to the bedek habayis, to the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. What we're seeing here is we are achieving both of the goals. These items, all of the items, the money goes to the bedek habayis, and the ones that were available, worthy to be brought on the Mizbeach, indeed, ultimately, they're brought on the Mizbeach. So we've achieved, Baruch Hashem, both of those goals, but Rabbi Yeshua has a very different take. His view is if somebody donates, even if he doesn't specify the uses, he's of the view that if something can be brought on the Mizbeach, the intention of the donor is not that those funds wind up in the Bedek HaBayis, but rather those animals, the Ketoros, that is used directly by the Beis HaMikdash. So accordingly, Zecharim Atzman Yikarvu Olos, anything that's a male, the Beis HaMikdash would be brought, that's the intention of the donor, bring it as an Ola. You don't have to sell it and have somebody else bring it as an Ola and get the money to the Bedek HaBayis, but rather the Beis HaMikdash itself, the status is not Bedek HaBayis, the person intended it to go straight for the Mizbeach, and that's what we do if it's a Korban Ola. When it came us, we would think to say that it should be brought by the Beis HaMikdash directly as a Shlamim. However, Rabbi Yeshua does endorse that fundamentally, but he's of the view that the donor wants, even if it was a female animal, he would want the entire thing to be brought on the Mizbeach. And the difference between an Ola and a Shlamim is an Ola, the entire thing is brought on the Mizbeach. And when it comes to a Shlamim, part of it is eaten by the owner, the donor of that Korban Shlamim. Accordingly, Rabbi Yeshua says, Unikevas, when this person donates all of his belongings and included in it is a female animal that can be brought as a Korban, what you do is you machru letzorchei zivchei Shlamim, sell it to people who want to bring a Korban Shlamim, and the money will come to the Beis HaMikdash. But that doesn't reside with the Bedek HaBayis. V'yavi b'demeim olas. And what the Beis HaMikdash does is takes that money, buys a Korban Ola, because the donor really wanted all the money to go from these animals, even the female animals, to go to the Beis HaMikdash as an offering. So you buy with it a Korban Ola. U'sha'ar nechasim yiplu lebedek HaBayis. And the rest of the assets of the individual, those belongings, will go to the Bedek HaBayis. But the value of the animals doesn't go to the Bedek HaBayis, it goes straight to the Mizbeach, and we bring them in the form of a Korban Ola. So we have two views there, the view of Rabbi Eliezer and the view of Rabbi Yeshua. So now Rabbi Akiva says as follows, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Roe Ani as Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. I endorse the first opinion, that of Rabbi Eliezer, over that of Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, he's saying that when somebody donates different types of items, some that can only go to the Bedek HaBayis and some that can be brought on the Mizbeach, I like the treatment of Rabbi Eliezer better. Rabbi Eliezer, Hishva es Midasa, because Rabbi Eliezer has a consistent standard that when a person gave that donation, we treat all of the items in that donation the same. They all have the status of Bedek HaBayis. It's not that we carve them up and say the person intended that some will go to Bedek HaBayis, but the other items that can be brought on the Mizbeach, he intended it to go into the Mizbeach. For Rabbi Yeshua Chalak, Rabbi Yeshua starts distinguishing between the assets. So I like the clear, consistent standard of Rabbi Eliezer over that of Rabbi Yeshua. Ama Rabbi Papias. Rabbi Papias gives a different view. Shamati Kedivrei Shneim. I actually, in fact, heard we paskin like both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, but it depends on the situation. Shemahamakdish beferush kidivrei Rabbi Eliezer. Somebody who gives the donation and he says explicitly, when it comes to the belongings, my animals, all these animals that I'm donating and all the other belongings that I'm donating, he bundles them together and he says they should be hekdesh, they should be consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. In that situation, because he bundled it together, that's the sita of Rabbi Eliezer. We treat both the korbanos, the animals that can be used as korbanos, and also all the other possessions, we treat them together that they have the status of bedek. So that's the cheat of Rabbi Eliezer that we achieve it. V'hamakdish, however, v'hamakdish tam, when somebody donates but he doesn't specify together my animals and my other belongings shall be hekdesh, but he just donates it but he doesn't make that statement. So it's hamakdish tam. He just says it in a general way. Kedivrei Rabbi Yeshua, that is when we would paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that we can look at the intent of the individual and we can treat the different assets differently. The items that were worthy to go on the Mizbeach, they would go on the Mizbeach. They wouldn't have the status of Bedek HaBayis. We wouldn't have to get the value of those items into the Bedek HaBayis. And the other items, indeed, would go to the Bedek HaBayis. Mishnah Ches continues the discussion of when somebody is makdi, somebody donates items to the base of Mikdash, and he does not specify the purpose, what is done with it. In the prior Mishnah, we saw two views. We saw initially the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer has a yud in it. We're going to have Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah. So Rabbi Eliezer, we saw the view of Rabbi Yeshua, and now we will see the view of Rabbi Elazar, a third view. And at the end of this discussion of this Mishnah, we will distinguish them a little bit further. So the Mishnah says as follows: Hamakdish nechasim, if somebody donates, he's makdish, he consecrates items to the base of Mikdash, hamakdish nechasim, v'hayu behem dvorim ru'uyin al gabe hamizbeach, and there are items included that are indeed used on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says, what are we talking about? Yenos, wines, shmanim, oils, ve'ofos, and birds. Those are all used in the service in the base of Mikdash on the Mizbeach. So what's to be done with them? So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar is of the view, and 2 points before we continue in the text of the Mishnah, he's of the view that everything that can be brought on the Mizbeach, anything fit for the Mizbeach has to be brought on the Mizbeach. And number two, he's also the view that not only that, whatever is fit to be brought on the Mizbeach, we don't bring it directly. We have to ensure that somebody brings it on the Mizbeach, but the person who is donating these items to the Mizbeach, he is going to want to bring a Korban Ola. That is the point, bring a Korban Ola. And not only a Korban Ola, but a Korban Ola from an animal. A Korban Ola can be brought from birds or from animals, so he's of the view that it has to be an animal Korban Ola. Accordingly, let's continue. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yimachru Letzorche Oso Hamin, these items that can be brought on the Mizbeach, he should sell them to somebody who needs them in their bringing of the Korbanos and the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, sell the wine to somebody who needs to bring wine on the Mizbeach as part of a Korban, or the Shemen, the oil, the Ofos, somebody who's going to use those on the Mizbeach, because they can be brought on the Mizbeach, they need to be brought on the Mizbeach, but not the person who donated them. The person is going to take the money, he's going to sell those items to somebody who needs them, they'll bring it on the Mizbeach, and he will take the money, viyavi b'demeim olos, and he will bring with the money olos, not only a korban ola, more than one korban ola, but it has to be from an animal, not from a bird. Ushar nechasim, and the other items that he donated that were not applicable, appropriate to be brought on the Mizbeach, yiplu lebedek habayis, that will go to the bedek habayis for the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. So just to distinguish the views, initially in the prior Mishnah, we talked about the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has the view that when somebody donates and doesn't specify, that it will go to the bedek habayis. Not that we have to bring it on the Mizbeach, but it goes to the bedek habayis for the overhead of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rabbi Eliezer in the prior Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua in the prior Mishnah was of the view that the items that were not earmarked, they weren't specified, it should go to the Mizbeach. However, the distinction here, that was Rabbi Yeshua, is that he was of the view that it doesn't have to be brought as a Korban Ola from animals. Animals for a Korban Ola, if included in what was donated were birds, you can simply bring the birds as a Korban Ola. So that was the view of Rabbi Yeshua, that yes, bring it on the Mizbeach. It should be brought as a Korban Ola, but as it doesn't have to be an animal Korban Ola. And in our Mishnah, we have the view of Rabbi Elazar, who took Rabbi Yeshua even further, and he's of the view that anything that can be brought on the Mizbeach, we have to convert that, the funds, into a Korban Ola, and not only Korban Ola, bird or animal, but it has to be specifically a Korban Ola that is in the form of an animal. Mishnah Tes tells us that when the Beis HaMikdash would buy various supplies, in particular yain, wine, shemen, oil, and soles, fine flour that were used in the various korbanos, they would buy it obviously with the funds of the Beis HaMikdash, and it had to be from producers, manufacturers, suppliers who prepared those three items to the highest levels of Kedusha. And the Mishnah will tell us very interestingly, it's a business Mishnah, that the Beis HaMikdash would lock in their supplies at set prices. Now, they could do this over the short term or the long term. So initially, we'll see when the Beis HaMikdash entered into short-term agreements what the terms were, and then we'll look at longer-term agreements what the terms were. So the Mishnah starts out, Achas l'shloshim yom, misharin et alishka, every 30 days, the Beis HaMikdash, the administrators at the Beis HaMikdash would set the prices for their purchasing of these items. So in other words, they would set the price for 30 days and the suppliers would have to agree to the following structure. We have a set price, and that set price is going to be valid for 30 days, and then we're going to look at what the market price and we'll adjust it up or down. But even during those 30 days, if the market price went up, the suppliers were required to supply at the original set price, not at the increased price. However, if the converse happened, if the market price went down, then the suppliers to the Beis HaMikdash would be required to adjust their prices downward, so the Beis HaMikdash would not lose out by having entered into the supply contract for 30 days. We're going to see a similar structure when it came to longer term agreements. It says as follows, Kol ha-makabel alav lesapek slasos me'arba. If any supplier agreed on a long-term basis, for example, at the harvest time when the prices were lower, the Beis HaMikdash would look to lock in their prices, because if there's a loss, that's a loss to Klal Yisrael, who are funding the Beis HaMikdash. So any supplier who agreed to supply solas, for example, solas is the fine flour, at the cost, and this is just an example, me'arba, to supply a volume, a set price of four se'ah, that's a volume for every se'ah, for every amount of money. For example, it'd be for every four bags of flour for every dollar, whatever it may be. Amdu mishalosh, and the price went up, and now with a selah, you can't buy four se'ah anymore. You can only buy three, so you can buy less. Yisapek me'arba, that supplier has agreed to the set price, and he has to continue supplying at the price that's advantageous to the Beis HaMikdash. So even though the price went up, he has to supply at the lower price of supplying arba sa'ah for each selah. He can't readjust to the three. And if the reverse happened and the price went down, mishalosh, or originally their agreement was he's going to supply three se'ah for each selah that's paid by the Beis HaMikdash, v'amdu me'arba, and the price went down and now it is four se'ah that you can buy for one selah, no longer three. So yisapek me'arba, he actually needs to readjust his price so that now he is supplying four se'ah to the Beis HaMikdash for every selah to ensure that the Beis HaMikdash is covered. Shiat hekdesh al ha'elyona, because literally the hand of the hekdesh, the yad of the Beis HaMikdash, is on the upper. In other words, they have the upper hand in these contracts that stick with prices. But if it's going to hurt to the Beis HaMikdash to stick with the price, then the price has to be readjusted in the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash. And similar concept when it came to the warranty, the guarantee as to the product that it will last until used. The Mishnah says, "V'im hislia soles, hislia lo." If indeed the fine flour that is being supplied and it's sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and while it's waiting to be used, it becomes wormy, so it cannot be used any longer by the Beis HaMikdash for the korbanos, that would be the problem of the supplier. He would have to replace it. V'im hichmis yayin, if the wine goes bad, it became vinegary, then hichmis lo, the supplier would have to replace it. The supplier had to bear the loss until the items were used. Once it was used, then he's off the hook. But until it's used, he has a guarantee that it will be usable by the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah concludes, "Ve'eino mekabel es me'osav ad shiyehei hamizbeach meratze." It means literally, he does not receive his money until the Beis HaMikdash uses the items on the altar. Bartanura explains what's talking about here. It's not a cash flow issue that they didn't get paid until their supplies were actually used. They used to get paid up front, but don't consider that money yours until we actually use it on the Beis HaMikdash, because any loss of these items, if they go bad, is going to be borne by the seller. So you may have been paid, but don't consider it your money. Eino mekabel es me'osav, meaning don't consider it yours until the Mizbeach has actually used, the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach has actually used these items, and then you consider that money your own.